Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jeff Conlin.
So we're looking at these pictures of the universe. And if somebody was to ask you to describe what you're seeing, how would you describe that? How would you describe that mountain in those colors? What would you say to somebody who hadn't seen it? It's just hard to describe. In Carl Sagan's book, Contact, the main character, a scientist, has an experience in the universe. And her reaction to that is, no words. No words. Poetry. Sometimes it just takes poetry to really give us an understanding of the feeling, the awe, the sense of everything that we're saying there. And so I don't mean, you know, a poem like roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you. I guess that's a poem, right? But that's not exactly what I'm talking about. It's not my fourth, fifth grade self who would have said roses are red and violets are blue, your nose is as big as a B-52. You remember that romantic poem? Or is that a poem? Is that a poem? Or is poetry really something like, what's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other word, would smell as sweet. A quote from Shakespeare. A beautiful quote that really helps you understand the fullness of Romeo and Juliet. There they are together talking about their love, and she says to him, "'Tis but thy name that is my enemy. Thou art thyself, thou not a Montague, but Montague. It is nor hand, nor foot, nor arm, nor face, nor any other part belonging to a man. Oh, be some other name. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other word would smell so sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain the dear perfection which he owes. Without the title Romeo doth thy name, and for that name, which is no part of thee, take all myself. In that one little part, we learn all about this story of division. Two different families, because of two different names, fighting and separating for no real reason. And so Juliet confronts that with this beautiful, poetic language of the rose. This morning we turn to something indescribable in Scripture. A miracle that's indescribable as we turn to Matthew chapter 17 and hear these words of Jesus' transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, I will make three dwelling places here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking,
Suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and they were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, "Why then? Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He replied, "Elijah is indeed coming and will restore all things, but I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but they did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man is about to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them about John the Baptist. And this is God's words to us this day. Jesus said, "Follow me. Follow me. Follow me up this mountain," to Peter, James, and John. When you read some commentaries, they say the inner circle. I don't like that. I don't agree with that. I don't understand that. Jesus being Jesus and everything he said to everyone about loving and loving one another, how could there be an inner circle amongst the 12, a secret society that was special above the others? I don't believe in that inner circle. But I know that Jesus did call those three to go up that mountain with him and experience that indescribable moment of white, glowing, and cloud, and voice. And Jesus had some purpose in that for those three. That at that moment they could understand, and at that moment they could take that, and at that moment it would empower them for the ministry that they were called to. An indescribable moment. The dwelling of God's presence with humanity. Exodus chapter 19. Egypt has released Israel. Pharaoh changes his mind and chases after them, but God saves them and brings them through the sea and brings them into the wilderness. They'd heard of this promise of a land of milk and honey for years, but God leads them into the wilderness. And it's there in the wilderness at a mountaintop, at Sinai, that Moses goes up. And the cloud, the Shekinah glory, this presence of God descends upon the mountain. Moses has that experience and goes down and speaks to the people about that indwelling, powerful experience. Genesis chapter 37, a story about a brat, spoiled brat. You know what I'm talking about? Joseph. Joseph in his wonderful coat that was all better than all of his other brothers. And so he liked to walk around with that. And he had a wonderful family father who understood family dynamics beautifully by making it known that out of all my sons, this one's my favorite. And so that just made things wonderful for the whole family. Such strong health came out of that, right? Such beautiful health came out of that. What did the brothers do with this incredible, wonderful, dearly loved brother? They wanted to kill him, but they chucked him in a pit, and he was sold off into slavery. And it's years and years later that we learn in the story as Joseph is there in the wilderness, captive himself, that he matures, that God speaks to him, that God transforms him, and changes him from that brat to a wise, caring, thoughtful man. So when his brothers show up, when there's that horrible famine in the land of milk and honey, what does he do? Not only does he welcome them, but he tells them, "You meant this for harm. God used this wilderness season for good. For me and for you." The cross. The cross is another path to wilderness. We know this side of the cross. The disciples knew the other side. Jesus going to the cross, Jesus on the cross. That was wilderness. They were led into this wilderness. They followed Jesus. He told them to follow. And they did. And he was there. And they were stunned and distressed. And they fled and they denied and they hid. How interesting, as we follow God, oftentimes we find ourselves in a wilderness. But God says, "Follow me." And God also says, "Trust me." Not only follow me, but trust me. That moment of Moses on top of that mountain on Sinai was a moment where God was saying, "Trust me. I know we've turned another direction, but I am leading you to the promised land. Trust me. Speak to these people and guide these people and share my words. Trust me." And Jesus leads three of the disciples up that mountain. And as he reveals the glory of the fullness of who he is, he's saying, "Trust me. Trust me. As I've asked you to follow me, as I've spoken the truth, I'm inviting you now to enter into trust. Because this is who I am. Follow me. Trust me." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Not sure we like that last part, right? "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Those are beautiful words, but "no one comes to the Father except through me." I thought, we're told that that sounds so exclusive. That there are barriers there. So we don't want to say those words, so I've heard a lot of preachers stop at, "Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life." But do you know what the most inclusive statement is? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is saying, "I am inviting all. I am showing you all. Follow me to peace and blessing and glory. Follow me to hope and healing and my presence in the midst of the storm. Follow me. Follow me fully. Trust in me fully. And we will journey together. And we will celebrate." And so we follow. And we trust. And the last invitation to explain how we are to live as followers and truly trust: we need to enjoy Him. We need to follow God. We need to trust God, and we need to enjoy God. Enjoy God fully. Enjoy God fully. You are a child of God. I make you say that on a number of occasions, and some people can roll their eyes when they hear that, but I want you to understand what it means to be called a child of God. It's indescribable. It's unbelievable. And it's indescribable when you move to the second thing that you need to do to enjoy God, and that's realize and recognize who you are. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. It's the reality. That's the brokenness that we walk with. So as we hear that, we need to go back to the mountain. We need to understand what God did. Now, did God say to the people of Israel, "If you obey me, I will love you and I will lead you"? Have you seen that anywhere in Scripture? When you're good, when you follow every rule, then my blessing will be upon you and I will love you and forgive you. Is that a part of Scripture? Should be a lot of it. What happened? God loved first. God reached out first. God forgave first before there was any recognition of who we are ourselves. That's theology. Let's get personal. God loved you first before you recognized anything that was broken about yourself. And God continues to love you in your brokenness. And even though it's easy for us and we want to be good Christian people and say, "Well, I'm a good moral person. I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as that person." The reality is I am. I'm no different. Broken. And in understanding that, this is odd. In understanding how broken I am, I can enjoy God more fully. Because I recognize that even in this brokenness, God is not going anywhere. God is going to continue to reach out. God is going to continue to transform me. I'm not speaking to you as a paid religious man. I want you to know that. Speaking to you out of my own brokenness, out of my own struggle. I'm speaking to you about following and trusting out of a life where I have a teenage suicide in my family, where there has been challenge and strife, where my soul has to carry this body around each day. And I'm speaking to you about enjoying God as we follow, as we trust, that we can fully enjoy. And then there's the great exclamation point at the end. The third way that we're called and reminded to enjoy God. We know the end of the story. We know the end of the story. We know the end of the story that Jesus will come again and redeem this world and redeem us and bring things back to the way they were meant to be. Eternally. What a beautiful ending of a story, isn't it? It's all tied up in a perfect, beautiful little package. So do follow Jesus. Climb to the mountaintops. See the mountaintops and the glory and celebrate that. Trust in Jesus in every way, through every season. And enjoy the goodness of His mercy and love so that you will be transformed and can walk in this world in a different way. Do you remember 30 years ago when we were all complaining? Not all of us. A lot of us. 30 years ago when we were all complaining about the negative news. Do you remember that? All they talk about in the news is robberies and murders. Remember all that struggle that we used to talk about 30 years later now, we've had quite a week. Quite a week. Everything about the vision, not the sweet smell of the rose and unity. So I encourage you today, as children of God, who trust and follow and enjoy God fully, you have been given a moral core and center that allows you to speak out, not in a judgmental way, but allows you to speak out against violence, against hatred, against Nazism, white supremacy. What? You are a people who follow and trust and enjoy, who are empowered to pray. In the midst of reading yesterday at a coffee shop in Guam, where the young community hangs out in that small island, that in that coffee shop they're making atomic bomb lattes. So the foam is in the shape of a mushroom cloud. And the challenge that was there asked by the reporter, why are you doing this? And the young man said, I've lived my whole life underneath this threat. We've heard it constantly. So the only thing that we can do about it is make a joke about it at this point. But then he did recognize on that day, the whole coffee shop, the conversation of everyone in that room was about North Korea. Followers and trusters and those who enjoy God, we are called to pray specifically for the peace of the world. Do not forget to do that. Did you hear what they sang? This little, what was it?
Light.
Oh, light. This little light of mine. That light that is the gift of the Holy Spirit working in your lives. We are called to be that light, so let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. As a follower, as a truster, as an enjoyer of our Heavenly Father.